Well, I'd ask you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew in chapter 20, and we're looking at verses 1 to 16 tonight. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 20, verses 1 to 16. The words of Jesus. Jesus has been teaching his disciples about the radical values of the kingdom of heaven. And he begins here, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to them he said, 'You go into the vineyard too. And whatever is right, I will give you.' So they went. And going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing and said to them, 'Why do you stand here idle all day?' And they said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You go into the vineyard too.' And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first.' And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, 'These last worked only an hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, am I doing you no wrong? I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give you to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity?' So the last will be first, and the first last." This is the word of God. Do you remember when you were wee and your mom purchased some Coca-Cola and you had to share it with your brother or your sister? Do you remember that? And one was given the task of pouring and the other was given the task of choosing. And I remember those occasions with my brother and I. There was always a careful reckoning, a careful examining going on to make sure that the other did not get a droplet more than he deserved. Well, this kind of thinking, if we're honest, never truly leaves us. It gets a bit more sophisticated, a bit more guarded and hidden, but it's still there. Jesus is just a master teacher. And he is communicating something very significant here, and it is this: that those who understand the nature of God, those who have experienced and have understanding of the grace of God, those who find themselves by God's grace in the kingdom of heaven, are those who are not caught up with who gets what, or status, but find themselves in a state of profound gratefulness. This parable flows from Jesus' previous teaching. If you go back a page in your Bible, you'll see chapter 18, and the disciples are asking Jesus, who is the greatest? Quite remarkable, isn't it? Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly, I say, unless you turn and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." And then later on in chapter 18 and verse 21, there is more teaching about how the kingdom operates in terms of forgiveness. The 70 times 7 thing going on. And even the teaching about divorce is turned to how we live lives in the kingdom of God. And then, of course, the children coming to Jesus, when he says, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for such belongs to the kingdom of heaven. And even the teaching on the rich young ruler who comes to Jesus is still about the kingdom. Truly, says Jesus, I say to you, only with difficulty will a rich person enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. And of course, they're utterly amazed at Jesus' teaching, and they say, well, that's it, the game's up for all of us. And Jesus says, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And so Jesus has been teaching his disciples about the nature of life in the kingdom of God. Looking at this simply under two headings tonight, God and grace. God, verses 1 to 7, he is the owner, the master of the house, the owner of the vineyard. And here is the sovereign God, the owner, who acts on the basis that the vineyard, the kingdom, is his, and that he may dispose of the assets of the vineyard as he chooses, because he is sovereign. That's what is being said here. And secondly, grace, verses 8 to 16. The owner, God, acts in grace towards all the workers, but in different ways. First of all, he elevates the least, reverses the order, and admonishes the entitled. We are taught that this is life in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus, the master teacher, is flushing out bad attitudes and wrong think by means of a parable. Those who understand who God is, those who have experienced his utterly amazing grace, are those who are grateful and not spiteful. But this parable is followed by this third reminder of how the kingdom of heaven is entered. Jesus' death and resurrection should instill the believer with a godly humility, replacing a sinful pride and feeling of entitlement. Look at verse 17. And as Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside, and on the way he said to them, see, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man, Daniel 7, that great magisterial figure, Jesus himself, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified, and he will be raised on the third day. So life in the kingdom of God begins with a look at the cross and continues with a sense of gratefulness. Verses 1 to 7, verse 1, for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. Now, people with a Jewish background, the majority listening to Jesus just now, would begin to make the connections. The very choice in the parable of the setting of a vineyard would make connections with them. The vine was a symbol of Israel, a precious vine to Yahweh. And so they would click into the significance of what was about to be said. At the very least, they're saying to each other or thinking in their minds, well, this has got to be about the people of God. The owner is therefore Yahweh. This is a parable, and so in parables, you do not press the details too much or allegorize. But some things are obvious, and that one is that the owner is God. And note, thirdly, his is teaching given to those who are in the kingdom. Not perfect, but in the kingdom. So this teaching is for all who profess faith in Jesus, but who know they are not perfect. If you don't think that's you, then we need to back up a bit. So the master of the vineyard makes an agreement, one denarius a day. This was We understand for that time the going rate. So it's a fair pay for a fair day's work. And the workers seem to be happy with this. They go fairly happily, we assume, into the vineyard. They, after all, had probably been standing, hopefully waiting for work. It was a brutal thing. My great-grandfather was a docker in Glasgow. And every day, the men would go to the docks, and they would be thrown tabs, and they would fight for a tab and a day's work. So it's not so far removed from us. So, some of them receive employment. All good. But then there is a development. The work is such that more help is apparently needed. And so, the master going out about the third hour, 9 a.m., so it's a 6 a.m. start, then the master goes out again at 9 a.m., and he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And so he said to them, "You go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right, I will give you. We'll settle up at the end of the day," he says. So they went. Going out again about the 6, that's midday, 6th hour. And then the 9th hour, which is 3 p.m. Now, you can imagine those who are listening to Jesus as this parable unfolds are saying, how is this going to work in terms of the differentiation of the pay? Maybe you're thinking that too, and that would not be unusual or unfair for you to think that way. So we imagine that the first tranche of workers are looking at the last tranche in, and they've got questions rising in their minds. I wonder what their deal is. Now, surely, if this was a real story and not a parable, there would be even more reaction to what happens next. And about the 11th hour, this is 1 hour before knocking off time. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, "Why do you stand here idle all day?" And they said to him, "Because no one has hired us." And he said to them, "You go into the vineyard too." Wow. Well, well. 1 hour to the hooter goes, and it's the end of the working day. And a new set of workers appear in the vineyard. Now, human nature in its fallen state, being what it is, does not want to be sold short. It's that Coca-Cola thing, you know? Jesus is such a great teacher. He knows what he's doing. Those listening to him that day would be clicking into the mindset of the first tranche workers and be saying, "Well, that's not fair. There has to be some differentiation in the pay that is given." But that is exactly the attitude that Jesus is fleshing out here. Normal sinful attitudes about status. But the thing is, Jesus already has said to them that this is a parable. "For the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard." So he's taking a well-known situation, a working setting, but it's not really about the working setting. It's about the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus is flushing out bad ideas here. The context here, and this is what we've got to grab hold of, the context here is not really that of a workplace dispute, but the kingdom of heaven. And so before we support strike action for fair differentiation of wages, we remember that that's not what it's about. That's not what it's about. This is the kingdom of heaven and about how we act and react within it. This is about the owner's perfect right to act as he does. This is about the godness of God. So look at it again, verse 6. "At about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing, and he said to them, 'Why do you stand here idle all day?' And they said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' And he said to them, 'You go into the vineyard too.'" Now, those listening would be thinking to themselves, All of these guys would have had families at home, probably, with mouths to feed. So all of them would feel the sense of drama. What does this action tell us about the owner? Well, first of all, that he sees a need. And secondly, that he acts with kindness. Now, this being a parable, we do not press details too far, but Jesus is saying something about God here. He's saying something about God, that he is God and has a right to act as he pleases, and that he will act, but he will act with sovereign care. And that is good news for us all. Jesus comes to the needy with an act of grace. God, then, grace. Here comes the crunch. Here is the dramatic bit coming. And when evening came, verse 8, and the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first. And so it's like one of those competitions where, and then number the third position is so-and-so, and number two, and then it gets to number one. And the drama increases with the reverse order. Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first. And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. So the guys who have worked for an hour are getting paid what was promised to those who had worked for 12 hours. Now, when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more. But each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled. They grumbled at the master of the house. You see what Jesus is saying? Such grumble at God. Saying, these last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us. There's the giveaway line. You have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat. Now, we think, don't we? They've got a point. Jesus says no. Because this parable is not about a workplace dispute. It is about the kingdom of heaven. It is about how God acts sovereignly and in sheer grace. And what we know of God, those listening that day should have known of God, that he is not arbitrary in what he does. He works out of his perfect nature. Now, this is such tremendous teaching and so opposite. This is the kingdom of heaven, which is entered by grace through faith in Christ. These disciples are going to witness thousands of people entering the kingdom of heaven by faith in Jesus. To enjoy what's going to happen in future days, they will need to understand the dynamics of grace, lest they become grumpy and self-absorbed. Now, let me contextualize this for you. When we find ourselves saying something like, you know, I've been a member of this church for many years and this church just isn't what it used to be. There's so many new people and I just don't feel I fit anymore. And boo-hoo. Hearken to yourself. Yeah, I can hear my wife's voice to me when I'm moaning about something. She'll say, listen to yourself, Jim Durrant. We don't deserve anything. This is the kingdom of God, and this is the point that Jesus is making. He is pushing his listeners to the point where they realize this isn't about fairness. This is about grace. We don't deserve anything. I found myself tempted in this way last year. I was asked to go back to Glasgow to preach in the church that I was brought up in. for their 125th anniversary. Well, what a scary thing it is to go back and preach where you were brought up. It is a blessing of God that some memories fade. That's the only reason they had me back, I tell you that. Now, when we left Glasgow 26, 27 years ago, people in that church were called Willie, Walter, Bill, Jean, Jesse, Jack and Jimmy. And here I was being introduced to Abdul, Rahim, and people with all kinds of, to me, exotic names. And I found myself thinking, well, this church isn't what it used to be. They even had an African choir. Until I caught on to myself. This is the kingdom of heaven. This is marvelous. This is the family of God. This is what God is doing in these days, and it is absolutely wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. This is the kingdom of heaven. Back to the parable. These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat. But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity?" So the last will be first and the first last. Now, forget the money. It is the attitude of the heart that Jesus is addressing here. These last worked for only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, is the giveaway line here. And also, let me make this clear, this is not about gradations of reward. There will be gradations of reward and glory. There will be. This is about the attitude of the heart. My dear friends, the last thing we want from God is fairness. That's the last thing we want from God. What we need is not fairness. What we need is grace. Salvation is a free gift and does not come by human effort. Jesus is casting the radical nature of kingdom life. God is sovereign. He is the owner who acts on the basis that the vineyard, the kingdom, is his, and he may dispose of his assets as he chooses. And grace, the owner, acts in grace towards all the workers, but in different ways, according to his perfect will. Elevating the least, admonishing the entitled. Jesus, the master teacher, flushing out the bad attitudes in the best of ways. Those who understand who God is and his amazing grace are those who are so deeply and profoundly grateful for the gift of salvation given to them, for the bringing of them into the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus is not so much condemning them as correcting them, and as this is an admonition on the part of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be like that, be like this. And as Jesus reverses the order of rewards, he is exposing wrong think in the minds of his listeners. You see, we understand that in the normal scheme of things, this would be unfair. But this is not the ordinary scheme of things. This is the kingdom of heaven. This is the work of God in grace. They, like we, would think in terms of fairness until we recognize that the owner is God, into whose rule and reign they and we have entered. The God whose work is perfect and whose ways are just. That what we are by the grace of God. End of. God being the owner is the sovereign disposer of his will. And a deep understanding of kingdom And of grace brings gratitude. And not snarkiness. Are we content but where the lines have landed for us? Are we warmed by the thought that what we are by grace? Is our understanding of what God has done for us deepening daily? Have we grasped what it means to be included in the kingdom of God? Are we marked with gratitude to God for all that he has done for us in Christ? Peter, post-resurrection, is still thinking about other people and his place in the hierarchy. And in John 21, we're told Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who also had leaned back against him during the supper and had said, "Lord, who is it that is going to betray you?" And when Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about this man?" And Jesus said to him, to Peter, "If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. You, Peter, follow me. Never mind looking at anyone else. You follow me." See, when we come to understand this parable, it kind of acts like an inoculation against pride, which is so corrosive in community. When we come to understand who we are in relation to God and to his grace, we discover a new stability based not on the sliding scale of a culture, but in the unchanging nature of the God who saves and keeps. Always remembering the cost of entry into the kingdom. Jesus saying to his disciples, "We're going to Jerusalem. And the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified, and he will be raised on the third day." You see, in the parable, the owner acted sovereignly and with grace. And that is what God did at the cross. God has acted sovereignly in our salvation that has come to us by his grace. And that's why life in the kingdom begins not with a side look at others. Life in the kingdom begins with a look at the cross and continues with gratefulness. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Jesus, for his teaching, which is incomparable, that exposes our hearts and helps us to live well as those who have been brought in by an act of sheer grace into the kingdom of heaven. Father, help us to live well as a church. To live well as believers as we seek to follow Jesus in these days. Amen.